Well, good evening, everyone. I wish we had more time to praise God. I always love it when we get a chance to open up the hymn books in praise. We could have a whole worship service of just that. It'd be wonderful for me. Well, I love it when God just paves the road for you. And about a month and a half ago, Pastor Otero asked me to prepare a sermon. And what the Lord put on my heart was David, to preach on David. And it just so happened that today we started 1 Samuel, and Pastor Otero covered Samuel and Saul and parked me right on David. So we're going to begin right on David, which is perfect. So we've had a wonderful review getting us to where we are now. And I would like to start us off in 1 Kings chapter 2. And starting right at the beginning, 1 Kings chapter 2. And the setting right here is David, it's his final days, it's his final moments, and he is sharing his last words with his son, who is king of Israel now. And so Solomon has been made king of Israel, and these are the final words of David given to his son. In verse 1 it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he commanded Solomon his son, saying, 'I go the way of all the earth. Be you strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and whithersoever you turn yourself.'" Amen. "That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, 'If your children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel.'" And as we see from Solomon, he listened to the young people, and it divided the country. And that was a great tragedy in the history of Israel, as well as his marriage life, which all of the gods of the other nations turned his heart away. The women he had married turned his heart away from the Lord. But David was a man of God. David was a man who was so intimate and so powerful with the Lord. And he had this advice to give him. Let's turn real quick. Let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 23 in verse 3 and 4. And we're going to find out a little bit about being a king. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3 to 4. And it says, "The God of Israel..." Now this is, indeed, let's go a little further. It says, "These be the last words of David." So it says here, the God of Israel. This is David saying this. David, who is king, says, "The God of Israel said, 'The Rock of Israel spoke to me.'" God told this to David. That's how personal, how intimate and connected he was with God. It said this: "He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." And what's amazing about this is this came out from the failure of seeing Saul. And Saul was the opposite. He did not rule in the fear of God. He had the fear of God when the troubles came, when the tragedies came, when things were at their worst. But as we learned this morning, he was not a man of deep prayer and connection with God. He didn't have that. And David had that. David had that intimate connection. The actions of Saul was that He was religious, but not right with God. That was the way he ruled. He was religious, but not right with God. Let's see one of the things that is so important when it comes to a person who wants to serve God and wants to do it rightly with God. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we see the lack that Saul had and what it was specifically that also led to his demise. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's turn to verse 17. And it says, "And Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst you not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?'" Now, this is the charge against Saul. Well, what is Saul's excuse for not obeying God? Well, here is his excuse. "And Saul said unto Samuel, 'Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord your God in Gilgal.' And Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?'" So it's amazing. Here, he's saying, well, I have done the work of the Lord, and I saved Agag, the kings of the Amalekites. I saved this person, but he was not commanded or ordered to save that king. As great of a man as that king was, if there was someone who you'd want the king. Hey, I have the king now. He's now in my control. But that's not what God had commanded of him. And he's using that to justify himself. And not only that, but he caves into the pressures of the people around him. He caves into the pressures of the people around them and complains to God about it. That's what he does. And look at how he thinks that this is fine. This is okay in the sight of God. But Samuel says rightly, and he says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" And then he says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And that was the failure of Saul. Now, we have David. David comes after this, and David is a righteous man, and David is a holy man of God. So let's find out what God had to say about him. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 to 13. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 to 13. And God says, "Now therefore, so shall you say unto my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with you whithersoever you went, and have cut off all your enemies out of your sight, and have made you a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make thee a house. And when your days be fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And if you want to go a little bit further, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Wow. And God just lays out the life of David right before him. He knew him before the foundation of the world. He knew him before one day had existed in his life. One more thing about David here that's so amazing is God was with him throughout all of his life. Let's get some proof on that. Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 16. The book of Acts, chapter 13, starting in verse 16. And we find out a little bit more about David here. And it says, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.'" That was David. That was David. That was an amazing man. And from the seed of David, if you want to go one more verse, it says, "Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now, we get to know a little bit more about David in Samuel. We know about it more in Chronicles. And we have him in Kings as well. One of the things that's amazing about David is he wrote almost all of the book of Psalms. When people think of the book of Psalms, they almost always think about David because he wrote so much of the book of Psalms. Well, what happens in the book of Psalms? You see just everything a person could go through in life, basically. You see the trials. You see the tribulations. You see the sorrows. You see the joys. You see the praise. You see the good times. You see the bad times. You see every aspect of a person's life in the book of Psalms. And even so much of that is testimony and prophecy showing the life to come of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so you see these sorrows and these things that David went through and Jesus also identifies with and is written of him concerning him. So you see all these sorrows and all these things happening with David. And so when we get to 1 Kings chapter 2, we have a man who has failed with God in his personal life many times. And we see a man who has had great victory with God many, many times. Moreover, more victories than failures. And a man who has a great name with God, who accomplished wonderful things, powerful things, things which are so amazing that there's so much of the Bible written of him. It looks almost like you're holding about a third of the Bible sometimes when you see his life and Psalms and all these things written about him. It looks like you're holding so much of the Bible. This was an incredible man. This was a really incredible man. And after going through all the things that he's been through, all the tragedies and victories, all the times of uncertainty and doubt and worry, and failure, and everything I think a person could go through, and everything in between, and every uncertainty you can think of, he now has to pass on the kingship, the throne, to his son. And his son has just begun being king. Now, David has lived. At 30, he became king, and he ruled for 40 years. And he's lived his life. He's lived a full life. And now, what would this man of God, what would he want to share with his son, and this being his last opportunity to share that? What would he, with all the experience, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the experience, with everything that he has learned, and with the amount that God has drawn near to him, and God has become so massive and amazing in his life, and so big in his life, what does he want to share with his son? Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, and we will find out. 1 Kings chapter 2. Let's go back. Now, the first thing that's here that we know of is that David tells his son that he knows that his time has now expired, that he has served the Lord. He has been a servant of the Lord, and he has fulfilled his commission to serve the Lord, and now his time has passed. And so he goes to Solomon now. It says, now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he commanded Solomon his son, saying. Now, he's addressing Solomon here as not only a king to a king, but a father to a son. He's doing both things right now. These are precious moments. This is a precious time between him and his son. And he lets him know, I go the way of all the earth. This was the last time David gets to talk to his son. And he will no longer be able to be Solomon's king because he has to pass away. And his father will not be there anymore. He won't be able to talk with him or see him again. These are the last times for him. And the first thing it says, be you strong. You need to be strong. You need to be strong. And to show yourself a man, you need to be a man. A way that I like to look at this is to say this, you need to be mature. You really need to be mature. For the ladies, it would be, you have to be a woman. You have to be a lady. You have to be a woman. You have to be mature. Because there's a lot of things that are going to be coming to you. There's going to be a lot of things. So he tells him, be strong. You need to be ready for what's to come. When you look at David attending sheep, do you think that he would have ever seen the life that now we see in the scriptures? Do you think he would ever have thought that he would end up being the king over an entire nation, ruling armies, battling, doing all these tremendous and incredible miraculous things? Never probably would have ever thought that any of those things would have come to pass. You have no idea what God has planned for you, but you know that you can be ready. You need to be ready because you don't know what a day may bring forth, like Solomon said. So he doesn't know. He doesn't know, but he does know that he wants his son to have the right direction. Who knows what could happen with Solomon? But he tells him to be strong, to show himself to be a man, and to keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whithersoever you turn yourself. And this is amazing because they had the books of Moses. And look at how much he accomplished knowing God and the books of Moses, knowing the word of God. And we have the entire Bible now. I mean, look at what someone can do when they have faith and when they follow the word of God. And this is what's been revealed to us. We now have the full revealed scriptures, and we can follow this, and who knows what God will do with any one of the people who are here tonight or listening on the radio. Amazing. Amazing. And it's also incredible to consider this when you think that you read through the book of Psalms and you see all the things, and the thing that he wants to put to him is, yes, be strong, be a man, but God is the most important thing. Look at how many things he says. He doesn't just say, keep the commandments And then that's it. He brings up everything that he can talk about concerning God. He says, keep the charge to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. He's saying, be on the Lord's side. Be on the Lord's side. Everything about God, be on the Lord's side. Be a man of God. Don't be a man of the flesh. Be loyal, trust in the Lord. Be loyal to God. Be faithful to God. Because if he does that, he says, that you may prosper in all that you do and whithersoever you turn yourself. And then, of course, along with the blessing upon his life of knowing God and doing the will of God in his life, he says there's also the blessing that the Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. And that was the promise that David wanted for his son. But David knew the key for those promises of God, and it's no different today, that the key for us obtaining the promises of God is us taking heed to the commandments of the Lord. The greatest commandment for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest commandment. Let's go to John chapter 3 together. And let's find out about this. John chapter 3. Let's go to verse 14. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the commandment that we have. This is the revelation that God has given to us, for us to obey, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to continue with Jesus Christ. The thing that I would like to go into now is 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Let's find a little bit more about this. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Now, if David had the full Bible, well, this indeed contained in the Scripture. Here we go. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So is Jesus Christ precious to you? Is Jesus Christ precious to you? We have the commandments of God, and we want to follow the commandments of God. And Christ is head of the corner. He is the rock. He is central to our obedience to Jesus Christ, to God. So it says here, that for the person, though, and who is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, it says this, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, which stumble at the very word of God. And it says, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They were appointed. So we have to ask ourselves, with the wonderful advice that David gave his son, the advice, the commandment that we have today is of Jesus Christ. And to those who are who find him a stumbling and a rock of offense, they are perishing. But we who believe, look what it says here. It says that he is precious. He is precious to us. That's how wonderful Jesus is. And it takes a miracle for that to happen in someone's life. It takes a miracle to turn someone like Saul into a Paul, which happened. To take someone who's so far away and bring them into the preciousness of the presence of Christ and of God. It takes a miracle. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do that. And turn them, look what it says in verse 9. For those who believed, to those who have Jesus as being precious to him, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. And look at what it says here. It says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So it's amazing that David, as a father, speaks to his son, and as a king, speaks to a king. And God here, through Peter is speaking to the kings who believe in Jesus Christ. We are kings and priests before God. And this is advice for us in our lives. Knowing that we're a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a peculiar people who are to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And that's our life. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That is really amazing. And what's also amazing is when you consider the book of Psalms, that at the end of the book of Psalms, what do we find? Praise, 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 praise. It begins with Psalm 1, showing the difference between the righteous and how the righteous live and how the unrighteous live. And there's all these trials and tribulations, and there's these great experiences with God. There's these revelations of who God is, of his law and his justice and his mercy and his grace and his justice and everything about who God is. And at the end, through all the trials and tribulations, there is praise and there is praise and there is praise. So for us who are kings and priests before God, what David would say to us is for us to be strong, for us to show ourselves mature, to be men and to be women, and to keep God first, always. That is what God wants us to do. And at the end, we will go through so many trials and so many tribulations. David had no idea all the troubles that would come to him in his life. Neither did Job. God didn't just say, these are all the problems. They had to go and work through them step by step in their lives. And they had to rely on God and be men of prayer, men of worship and praise of God to get them to Psalm 150, where they had reached the end of their lives and they had nothing but praise for God. They had nothing but praise for God at the end of their lives through all their hardships and all their trials. But we'll go through those things. We'll go through those things. But God lets us know with comforting words that we need to be mature and strong. He won't give us more than we can handle. We can make it to the end. And we need to stay with God. And at the end of the road, we will be offering praise to God and praise to God and praise to God. I always find it interesting when reading the book of Job that God doesn't tell Job about the conversation that he had with Satan and what was going to happen with Job. God doesn't tell him about that conversation. And God doesn't tell him what he's going to allow Satan to do. And God doesn't tell him all these horrible things that happened in his life. God didn't share that with him. What we find is Job went through the problems, went through the conflicts, and at the end, God was praised. And we have the book of Job, and now we do know why. We know the reasons why now. But for us who are beginning our lives or in the middle of our walk with God or nearing the end of our time serving the Lord, we know God will be praised in the end. We know that our lives have meaning and purpose, and we need to, with the joy of the Lord, be strong, be mature, and keep the commandments of the Lord. And stick with God through the end. So that's my message for you guys today, is to trust in the Lord and that no one is ashamed. No one is ashamed who puts their trust in the Lord. And they won't be confused. They'll be filled with praise for God. Amen.